Good job, guys. For this morning's message, we're stepping out of our ongoing series in Romans. We're actually going to be stepping out most of the summer and be doing some other things. Today is a kind of a standalone topical message from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. So if you could open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. That'd be great, and then later in the summer, we're going to be looking in 1 Samuel a little bit, and we're going to be talking about baptism at some point, so we'll get back to Romans in the fall, but there's some good stuff going on this summer, so you have to keep coming. So let me go to the Lord and ask for his help before we look at the Sermon on the Mount. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and I pray that you would speak to us right now through your word. Give us open hearts to hear from you, and we thank you for what you're going to do in us right now. We pray that you give us understanding. We pray that you give us faith to trust in you. We pray that you give us strength to obey you. Help us to respond to you in a way that makes you glad. I pray that your spirit would work right now in my words and in our response, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a pastor who was here, who is a relative of some of you guys, Pastor Calvary Chapel, I think starting about 1965, is that right? Pastor Richards, some of you guys remember him. He was here like 65 to 75, more or less, is that right? You remember that, Charlie, back 65 to 75? And something that I've just heard his children say about preaching, which I think maybe some people sometimes would say to him, or maybe he was trying to avoid people saying this to him, is like this statement: you're not preaching anymore now, Pastor. Now you're meddling. Okay? You've moved from preaching to meddling. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to move from preaching to meddling. Because, and actually I think sometimes preaching needs to meddle. It needs to get into our hearts and get into our business and make us a little bit uncomfortable, right? Because what I'm going to talk about today is, are you ready? People are already leaving. Are you ready? I'm going to be talking about money, okay? And so that's kind of uncomfortable when I start to talk about money, because money is actually something that's close to our hearts. It's a little bit like talking when I talk about sexuality. That's also close to our hearts, but in a similar way, money to sexuality, money is a gift from God. Money is something that God gave us, and we can learn to steward this good gift from God in a way that makes us closer to Him, in a way that makes us honor, helps us to honor Him, or we can use this gift from God and also in a way that blesses people. And let me put it this way, like increases intimacy in a beautiful and wholesome way. Or we can use this gift in a way that hurts other people or that doesn't honor God, okay? And in a way that doesn't help us to get to know Him better and actually, you know, drives us away from Him. Jesus, in the parable, like His most famous parable, the parable of the sower and the seeds, remember? He said, and when he's talking about, there's a certain kind of ground that receives the seed, and it choke, like the thorns come up and choke out the plant that's trying to grow. And he says, that's when we get distracted by the worries of this world, like the wealth and the worries of this world. And so we can get distracted from the good things that God is trying to grow in our lives by worry, okay? So today we're going to talk about financial stewardship, okay? And if you're new to following Jesus, and I think we do have some new people here and people that are just starting to learn about what does it mean to follow God, to follow Jesus, to know Him, this might be a totally new concept to you, this idea of financial stewardship. And you might assume that when a church talks about money, that I'm just trying to like sell you something, just get you to buy what the church is selling, just like everybody else in this world has something they're trying to sell you, and they're trying to, You know, like, I'm just trying to extract a few more dollars from you, okay? Just like every other business is doing. But the goal of this message is not just to extract a few more dollars or cents out of you. It's actually, I have a much bigger goal, and that's to shape how you think about money and how you use all of the resources that God has given you, not just the small portion that you give to the church, but all of the resources that you have, all of the money that you spend and manage for God, okay? Now, if you have been a Christian for a while, you probably have heard some teaching about the concept of financial stewardship. But just like many of the things that we know already, sometimes we need to be reminded of the things we've already learned. And so that's what this message is going to be, a reminder of the things you've already learned. And I like to do some teaching on stewardship every year. And it's not just for the financial health of the church, but it's for the spiritual health of the people who are in the church. This is a spiritual issue. The way that you handle your money is a spiritual issue. And so we're going to be talking about some principles that Jesus gives us about how we handle our money. And this is something that you can grow in spiritually in this area. Some of us know about the concept of financial stewardship, and we wish that we could grow in this area, but we find that it's really hard, okay? And sometimes we hear about how God has called us to, like, generosity, radical generosity, and we're like, yeah, I'd like to be able to do that, but it's just not realistic at this point in my life. This is not the right time. It's too hard right now. And so if you're one of those people, this message is going to be for you. So let me read the text on which the teaching is based today. This is Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to be reading 19 through 34. Matthew 6, 19 to 34. Jesus says, this is Jesus' teaching to people. And by the way, most of the people that Jesus was talking to when he gave this sermon, when he was teaching, these were not rich people, okay? These were not wealthy people that he was talking to. So that's sort of comforting, right? That Jesus understands our limitations and our struggles. So when he's talking to people like us. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So, if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since he either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about your clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is God's word. Can I get a witness on that, on that last part? We got enough trouble today, right? We don't got to worry about tomorrow. All right, so this section of the Sermon on the Mount is clearly about money. Okay, if you look at verse 19, he says, "Don't store up treasures on earth," but in verse 20, "but instead you should store up treasures in heaven." So you shouldn't invest in things that won't last, Jesus is saying. Don't put all your heart and all your investment into things that are temporary, but instead, you know, invest in things that will last longer. And you guys understand this, like sometimes you can buy something really cheap that's going to break quick, but you know that if I spend a little more money and buy something better, it's going to last longer, right? And what Jesus is saying is put your money into things that are going to last forever, okay? So invest in God's kingdom that'll last forever. In verse 25, he says, don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. And this is about money, you know. Don't worry that you won't have enough money, okay? Instead, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Okay, in verse 33, that's the high point of this whole passage. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So if you are seeking after God's kingdom, and there's so many applications to that. One of those has to do with our money, but also with our time, with our sexuality, with all the good gifts that God gives us. You know, there's different things we can apply this to. But if you apply it to money, seek first the kingdom of God, and then he's going to provide what you need, okay? So in this context of thinking about money, Jesus' followers need to be seeking after God's kingdom, pursuing God's kingdom, searching for it, advancing it, and investing in God's kingdom. And so this idea, it has to do with financial stewardship, okay? This is the main concept that Jesus is trying to get us to understand, that the way that we use our money, it's a stewardship. Stewardship comes from the idea of fiduciary responsibility. Some of you guys work in finance, and you are the fiduciary, okay? But the idea is the owner has entrusted resources to a fiduciary who invests it, who uses the resources, manages them, spends them on behalf of the owner, according to the owner's values. And we've all read recently about companies, or seen on TV, you've seen about companies who took investors' money, and they had given the money for one purpose, but then the people that were supposed to be investing it, instead they used it for their own extravagant lifestyles, and some of them are in jail right now, in prison, you know? Like, they weren't investing the money according to the owner's values. And you can think about it from the other side. Like, if you put your money in a savings account, like at the bank across the street here, say you put some money in the savings account, and you have the understanding that the bank will invest this money for you according to your values and earn some interest for you, okay, that's what you were planning on. If instead they take your money and they buy a bunch of Slim Jims and start passing them out to all the customers and to the employees, you know, and then you check your balance and it's like it says zero, you know, because they spend all your money on Slim Jims. Like you would be a little bit upset because they weren't using your money according to your values, and they weren't upholding their fiduciary duty. So here's the idea, is like God has given you money. God's given you money. The money that you have, it's a gift from God, or he's loaning it to you, lending it to you, so that you can steward it for him, that you can manage it for him, according to God's values, according to the values of his kingdom. And when I'm saying that, you might say to me, God's money? This is my money, you know. I'm the one who earned it. And you're right. You know, you are the one who earned it. But think about this. Like, who gave you the brains to go out and earn that money? Who gave you the strength, the energy to go out and earn that money? Who gave you the blessing of being born in a rich country in a peaceful and prosperous period of history so that you could go out and you could earn your money? Well, God did that. You know, God put you here in 2023 in a rich place and with the ability to go out and earn, and he gave you brains and strength, and you're doing it, okay? So the resources that you have are a gift from God, that he's given it to us. He's given it to us on loan. He made you. He made everything else. He saw fit to give you certain resources. And so we need to steward these resources for him, to manage these resources for him. So we need to seek first his kingdom. If our hearts are interested in his kingdom, if we value his kingdom the way that he values his kingdom, we need to seek first his righteousness. If we value the holiness of God, if we value, put it like in Romans when it talks about righteousness, it's talking about putting people in a right relationship with God. If that's what we value, then the way that we steward our resources will be according to his values. You know, we'll use them for his kingdom, for his righteousness. And then, and while we do that, we're trusting that he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for our needs. Our hearts need to be conformed to his heart so that we use our resources the way that he uses his resources. And these are his resources. He's given them to us to use for him. And so God has called us to generous stewardship of our resources for his kingdom as we trust in him to provide for our needs. And Jesus, like, this is hard. This is difficult. There are some hang-ups that we have that kind of get in the way of us managing our resources for him. One of the basic principles of financial stewardship that many Christians have adhered to over 2,000 years is the principle of tithing, okay? Now, God commanded the people of Israel to give 10% of their income to him, and they also gave other gifts to God, you know, in addition to that. But that 10% was used to resource the worship of God in the temple. There are other offerings that the Israelites made in addition to the tithe. And in the New Testament, there's no teaching in the New Testament that tells Christians you need to give 10% of your income, okay? But many Christians follow that standard, and they say, well, if Israel gave a tithe, if they gave 10%, and we're even more indebted to the grace of God than the people of Israel were, then we'll make 10% the starting place of our giving to the church and other kingdom ministry. And this has been the way that at Calvary Chapel, the way that we've decided to live together. And, you know, nobody's like, I have no idea how much money anybody gives. Nobody's like checking up on you. But like, we kind of like, when in our statement of our church covenant, when we join together as this people, we covenant together and we say, yeah, we're gonna be generous with our giving, and 10% is a great place to start. Now some of you, for some of you, tithing's a way of life, and this is like old news. And you're like, okay, whatever. You're not saying anything different than the way that I live all the time. Now, for other people listening to me right now in this room, you're like, this sounds pretty radical. This is over the top, right? Or you're saying, this isn't realistic for my situation right now. And Jesus knew that generous kingdom stewardship would be a huge mind shift for people, okay? And there would be reticence to do things like this. And he addresses some of the spiritual issues that can be hang-ups to generous stewardship. And one of those hang-ups he talks about in the first part of the passage, where he's talking about where our treasure is. You see that in verse 19? It says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, or instead store up yourselves in treasures in heaven. Jesus is making observations about how people use their money, and he's making the observation that it's a spiritual issue. There are spiritual issues related to how we use our money. Where, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So people invest in what's important to them. If you don't spend money on something, it's not that important to you relative to other things, right? And when you do spend money on something, that thing probably then becomes important to you because you have to take care of whatever you bought, or whatever you're spending money on. That shows you, like, if someone were to look at your bank statement or your credit card statement and looked at the line items, they could have a pretty good idea about what's important to you, right? Based on what you spend your money on, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Jesus says, "Don't store up treasures on earth, which are temporary, but instead store up treasures in heaven, which last forever." So, in practical terms, we should invest our money in things that will last forever. What will last forever? Our relationship with God will last forever. Our relationships with each other will last forever if we know the Lord. So we should invest in what facilitates those relationships, our relationships with God, relationships with each other, especially kingdom work, especially gospel ministry, right? It's interesting that Jesus also makes this statement about the eye. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And I think what he's trying to say is the way that we perceive reality determines who we are, okay? If we perceive that money is the meaning of life, or gaining wealth is the meaning of life, Jesus is saying we're not really seeing reality accurately, and we're in the dark. But if we see the meaning of life as knowing God and helping others to know God and to enjoy Him, then that's a really bright life. That perception of reality makes your whole life bright. It lights up your whole self. And he gets even more specific. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either God is your Lord or money is your Lord. You can't have both. And some people call out to God to help them get more money. That's why you're calling out to God. God, give me more money. And so that shows what your real Lord is. You know, like God is coming along to help you get what's really important to you. But then other people use their money to serve God, and that's what's really important to them. You know, so which is the master and which is the means to serving the master? Is God, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like if the orientation of your life is I need more stuff, God, help me to get more stuff. Get on board with my agenda. Get me some more stuff. That shows you what your master is. But if the orientation of your life is God, I want your kingdom to grow. How can I use my resources to help your kingdom grow? Then that shows you what your master is. Okay. So for some people, the hang-up which prevents them from being generous stewards of their resources for God's kingdom is that God's kingdom really isn't that important to them. On the other hand, if we realize just how much a treasure God is, how much a treasure it is to know God and enjoy Him forever, that's the most beautiful thing in life, that's the most lasting and fulfilling thing ever, then we're going to want to use our resources for Him. Okay, so that's the one hang-up is, it's like, what is your treasure? If our hearts are oriented towards God as our treasure, then we can overcome that hang-up. And then the other hang-up is worry. And you ever worry about money? Can I get a witness there? I mean, I'm not trying to, like, embarrass you, but like I've been there. Okay. So for some people, our hang up to generous kingdom stewardship is being worried about not having enough money. And we worry if we give more, we won't have enough. And Jesus seems very understanding and compassionate towards people like this. Most of the people he was talking to were pretty poor. Okay. But so he makes a promise to them. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. God's going to meet your needs. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. God feeds the birds. He clothes the flowers. He loves you even more than He loves flowers and birds. God has all the resources in the world. And if you seek His kingdom first, Jesus says, God will take care of His needs. When we look at Jesus and we see how much He loves us, we realize that we're able to trust in Him and that He will take care of us. He's not going to leave you stranded. Jesus has got you. He loves you. In 2 Corinthians, we were reading in 2 Corinthians this morning, the scripture reading, but here's another section of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul writes this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Isn't that cool? Jesus, the richest guy ever, became poor for us so that we could share in his riches. And he gave his life for us so that we could have his life. And that's how much he loves us. And when we realize just how much he loves us, that frees us up to be generous. And it frees us up from worry because we know God loves me and God's going to take care of me. He's going to meet my needs. He's going to do what I need. He's going to give me what I need. Like we read last week in Romans, God is for us. Who can stand against us, right? God is for you. God's for you. When you know that, that really gives you a lot of freedom to be generous. So I want to talk now about just some real practical applications of this idea of financial stewardship. And here's something that you can do this week. You can I'm meddling now. Okay, you ready for this? You can grab your last bank statement and your last credit card statement and just look over it. Okay. And you can do this with your spouse if you've got one, and just ask yourself, you know, is there a way that I can align my use of resources closer to the way that God uses his resources? Maybe God will show you something there. Maybe there's a way to realign how you use your resources for him. And then when you think about that, you can make a plan on what you're going to do next. And one example of that might be like, I'm not giving the tithe. Maybe you could start trying. That'd be a good place to start. It's a good place to start with the giving, is to give a tithe. Some of you guys do tithe all the time. Maybe then you could think, well, is there some other section of my budget that I can use for God's kingdom? Like maybe I'll set aside a little money every week to buy somebody a cup of coffee and talk about the Lord with them, you know? Maybe I can set aside $4.50. Coffee is so expensive, goodness. But like maybe I can set aside $4.50 to go to the Dunkin' and invest in God's kingdom that way, spending time with somebody and pointing them to the Lord. Like I think that's an awesome investment, right? Or giving yourself a little margin so that if there's somebody in your life that has a financial need, you can help them out a little bit. Like being a generous steward for God's kingdom, like you can think about that. Or maybe you want to invest in the renovation project that we're about to do and give a little bit every week until we get this done. Like you can think about what is a practical thing that I can do to steward my resources for God's kingdom. And I just want to mention too, like it's not like Jesus is saying, don't give good gifts to your children, you know? God gives good gifts to his kids. I think it's sometimes a really good use of God's resources to buy your kids a bicycle, you know? It's okay to invest in a vacation or invest in dependable transportation. Like, all these things can be part of furthering God's kingdom. I don't think he's telling us to live this real ascetic lifestyle. But is everything that we're spending money on towards moving Jesus' kingdom ahead? Can we do that? So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when you say, I'm going to seek his kingdom first, then that's the first thing that you do with your money. Like with your time, if you say, I'm going to seek God's kingdom first and with my time, then maybe you say, okay, how do I seek his kingdom first with my day? Well, I'm going to prioritize prayer and Bible study every day. I'm going to make time to pray. It might not be the first thing I do in the morning. It might be, but it's going to be the first thing that goes on my calendar and everything else fits around it. If I am too busy to pray, then I'm too busy, you know. Or if I'm too busy to meet with God's people and worship the Lord in my week, then I'm too busy. It might not be the first thing I do in the week, although it is Sunday morning, so it kind of is. But if I'm too busy to do that, then I'm too busy, and everything else needs to fit around. So then with your generosity, like you do it first, and then the other things fit around, you know? So a lot of times people say, well, if I reach this certain financial milestone, then I'll start being generous. I talked to somebody last night. I just met this random guy, and he says to me, I'm working on getting rich. As soon as I get rich, I'm going to start helping people with my money. As soon as I get rich, you know? And I think God is calling us who are not rich yet just to be generous now, you know, and trust him to meet our needs. So seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and he's going to take care of you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this message, as hard as it is, as close to our hearts as it is. And I pray that you would give us just wisdom on how to live in the light of this. I pray that you'd help us to use our resources for your kingdom in our individual lives, and also as a church. I pray that we could steward the resources you've given us well for your kingdom. Help us to get your good news out there. Help us to invest in the lives of people that haven't heard your good news yet, so that they could hear and come to believe, and also to help people grow in you and to facilitate the fellowship that we have. I pray that we could just use your money well. Thanks for giving us so much. You've been so generous to us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing together.